Let's turn again, please, to 2 Kings and the chapter 2. The 2 Kings and the chapter 2. And we're going to look at this passage that we've read from, the verse 9 of 2 Kings 2, in a sense, summarizes what is happening in the passage. 2 Kings 2 and the verse 9 tells us, "And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Let us take a moment just to seek the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to speak to us through his word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank thee even again in the words we've been singing. We are reminded of how much we need thy presence with us day by day, even as thy people. And we thank thee we have that assurance that thou wilt never leave us nor forsake us, that we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." We pray as we come to thy word this morning that thou wilt by thy Spirit come and apply thy word to our hearts, that thy word will not merely go forth in the deadness of the letter, but that it might come forth to our hearts in the power and the demonstration of thy Holy Spirit. So I pray that thou wilt fill me afresh with thy Spirit, that thou wilt speak to me through thy word, and that thou wilt speak through me today to every waiting heart. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Elijah, the prophet, like all the other Old Testament prophets, pointed forward to the greatest prophet of all, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. All of the faithful prophets that we read of in the Old Testament days, they pointed forward to the coming Savior. Moses was spoken to by the Lord in Deuteronomy 18 and the verse 18. And of course, Moses, one of the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. And the Lord said to him, "I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee." And of course, it was the Lord Jesus who fulfilled those words that were spoken to Moses. You remember when the Lord Jesus arose from the dead, and in Luke chapter 24, how we read of those two discouraged disciples who were traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And the Lord Jesus, as the risen Savior, came alongside them. And of course, at first, they did not know who it was. And yet, as they spoke about the Lord Jesus, they spoke of him as a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. You may remember that occasion in Luke's Gospel when the Lord Jesus brought again from the dead the young man who's known as the son of the widow of Nain. And after the Lord Jesus brought him again from the dead, the people of Nain said that a great prophet is risen up among us. And so when we think of Elijah here as a prophet in his day, he did point forward to and foreshadow the Lord Jesus as the greatest prophet who would come into this scene of time. And of course, there are certain things we can see in the life and ministry of Elijah which pointed forward to the coming Savior as the great prophet. Many parallels that can be drawn. We think, of course, of how Elijah as the prophet in the midst of a time of famine, he was provided for by God. And of course, as the Lord Jesus walked upon this scene of time, he did depend upon his Heavenly Father for his provision. We can think of how Elijah performed various miracles during his ministry. And of course, when the Lord Jesus walked upon earth, he was known, among other things, for the great miracles, the sign miracles which he performed, proving who he was as the promised Messiah. We can think of Elijah as a man of prayer. We can think of how he prayed that there might be no rain for a time. There was no rain. We can think of how he then, in God's time, prayed for the rain again, and the rain came. We can think of how he prayed for the life of the child who was raised again from the dead. And of course, that again foreshadowed the fact when the Lord Jesus would come upon this scene of time, he would stand out as a man of prayer. And of course, even in glory, he ever lives to intercede for us. But here in 2 Kings chapter 2, we discover that there came a day when Elijah's ministry upon earth had to come to an end. For every one of us, there will come that point when it will be our last day upon earth, unless we're still among those still alive when the Lord Jesus returns. But apart from that, for each one of us, there will come a day when it will be our last day upon earth. We're coming very near to the last day of this year. And of course, in reality, none of us know whether we will see it or not. We have come to the last Lord's Day of a year. But someday, it will be our last day upon earth. And here in 2 Kings chapter 2, we have on record the last day for Elijah upon earth. There came also a day in the life of the Lord Jesus when it was the last day of his ministry upon earth. That day when he gave himself, first of all, as the great sacrifice for our sins. And of course we know he died, but of course he arose again. And for 40 days he was here upon earth as the risen Savior. And then there came that day when he ascended back to his heavenly Father. And of course we know his ministry continues in glory. We know that through the Spirit his ministry continues upon earth. But I want us this morning to focus in upon the departure of Elijah from this earth. The last day of Elijah's ministry upon earth, when he departed from this world. And I want us to see how his departure also foreshadowed something about the Savior. His departure as he went to heaven foreshadowed the ascension of the Lord Jesus back into heaven as the risen Savior. And I want us first of all this morning then to consider the announcement concerning this departure. When you look there at verse 9 of 2 Kings chapter 2, you will read, "And it came to pass when they," that is Elijah and Elisha, "were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." Before I be taken away from thee. There was an announcement, even in the words of Elijah here to Elisha, that Elijah would depart from this world on this particular day. Now, of course, this announcement had obviously been made before this day, first of all, to Elijah himself. And as we have read the passage this morning, it becomes clear that Elijah and Elisha and the sons of the prophets knew that on this particular day, Elijah was going to depart from this world. The announcement had been made, obviously, by God to Elijah, by Elijah to Elisha, and the sons of the prophets also knew of this announcement. When you read from the very opening verse of the chapter, well, the opening verse begins, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind." And you will read of how Elijah was going with Elisha from Gilgal. In verse 2, "Elijah said to Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And because Elisha knew that Elijah was going to depart from this world, he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they went down to Bethel. And of course, as they continued on their journey, when they got to Bethel in verse 3, the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel, they came to Elisha and they said, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And they're making this announcement to Elisha. They know that there is going to be this departure. You get into verse 4, and Elisha is speaking there, or Elijah again to Elisha, and he's telling Elisha to tarry where he is because the Lord had sent them to Jericho. And again, Elisha responds in the same way. He's not going to stay where he is. He's going to continue on this journey with Elijah. They get to Jericho. The sons of the prophets there in Jericho in verse 5, they have the same announcement to make to Elisha. "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And so there was this announcement that Elijah was going to depart from this earth on this particular day. And as Elijah spoke to Elisha in verse 9, he spoke of this fact again, "Before I be taken away from thee." And as I've said, this departure of Elijah that was going to take place from this earth in certain ways foreshadowed the ascension of the Lord Jesus back to glory many years later. And as we have spoke of the announcement of this departure, as far as Elijah was concerned, the announcement of his departure from this world, and then we move into the New Testament, to John's Gospel in particular, we are reminded that the Lord Jesus, he announced to his disciples that he was going to depart from this world. And he announced that departure before his death, before his crucifixion. Yes, and he would die, and he would rise again. And for 40 days he would appear to his disciples as the risen Savior, and then there would come that day when he would ascend back to his heavenly Father. And if you look for a moment at John chapter 13, and John chapter 14, you will find the Lord Jesus announcing to the disciples that the day would come when he would depart from this world back to the Father. John 13 and verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." The Lord Jesus knew that the time had come when he was going to depart out of this world unto the Father. And if you move down the chapter to verse 33, he announces to his disciples in verse 33 of John 13, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you." He is announcing to them that he will depart from this world. In verse 36, we read, "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." He's announcing he's going to depart from this world as far as his bodily presence is concerned. You move on into John chapter 14. Come down to the verse 12 as this conversation continues between the Lord Jesus and his disciples. Verse 12 of John 14, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." He's announcing again his departure from this world. And of course, as we think of ourselves today, the Word of God makes it clear there's a day coming when we shall depart from this world. If we're saved by God's grace, we can rejoice that we shall depart to be with the Lord in glory. In John chapter 17, as the Lord Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father, in verse 24 of John 17, he prayed these words, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Here the Lord Jesus prays that his people might be with him where he is. And that prayer will be answered. That prayer is answered every time a believer departs this world in death. They depart to be with Christ, where he is, to behold his glory. Did not the Apostle Paul say, as he wrote to the church at Philippi, that he had that desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better? What a day to look forward to. What a day to live in the light of. But maybe you're not saved this morning. You will depart this world someday, and if you depart this world unsaved out of Christ, you will depart to that terrible place called hell, to be separated from Christ for all eternity. What a solemn thought. And yet today, if you will but turn from your sin and receive Christ as Savior, your departure of death will be to glory rather than be to that terrible place called hell. And so when we come back here to 2 Kings chapter 2, we see that there was an announcement concerning the departure of Elijah from this world. And then I want you to see in the second place that there was an asking before the departure of Elijah from this world. If you look again at the verse 9 of 2 Kings chapter 2, the verse 9 says, "And it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon thee." In verse 10, we read of how Elijah said to him, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And so, Elisha is aware that Elijah is going to depart from this world on this particular day. And Elijah says to Elisha, "Ask what I shall give thee. Ask before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha does ask. He asks for a double portion of thy spirit to be upon me. And he's told that he's asking a hard thing, but if he sees Elijah when he is taken up, this request will be answered. Elijah, as he asks Elisha to make this request, to ask, he's conscious that Elisha will continue the ministry of the prophet when he, Elijah, departs from this scene of time. And he's telling him to ask before this departure. And again, as we think of this departure of Elijah from the world in his day, foreshadowing the ascension of Christ back to glory many years later, it's noteworthy that before the Lord Jesus even went to the cross and died, in that conversation recorded in John 13, right through to John chapter 16, that the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples of what he was going to ask for them and what they should also ask in light of the fact that he as the Savior would depart from this world. And if you turn first of all to Luke's Gospel chapter 11 before we go to John, but in Luke chapter 11 and the verse 13, keeping in mind that Elisha asked for a double portion of the Spirit to be upon him. In Luke chapter 11, we have an occasion during the ministry of the Lord Jesus when he was praying. And when he ceased praying, one of the disciples in Luke 11 verse 1 said, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And the Lord Jesus, he taught them the pattern prayer. He taught them about the need to persist in prayer. And then in verse 13 of Luke chapter 11, the Lord Jesus said, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" He's encouraging the disciples to ask for the Holy Spirit. Then if you come to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, we've already mentioned how the Lord Jesus was making it clear to his disciples he was going to depart from this world unto the Father. He would die, he would be buried, he would rise again, and then he would ascend back to his heavenly Father. John chapter 14, and when you come down to verse 13, the Lord Jesus says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." So he's encouraging his disciples to ask in prayer. And then as you continue down there in John 14, you will see in verse 16, the Lord Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." So the Lord Jesus is saying, he's telling his disciples before his departure from the world, he's saying to them, you should ask in prayer. You should ask indeed for the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come. I'm going to depart from this world as far as my bodily presence is concerned, but I am going to pray that the Father will send another Comforter, will send the Spirit of truth. And you will remember in Acts chapter 1 how the Lord Jesus assured his disciples that they would receive power after that the Holy Ghost had come upon them. They would be witnesses for the Lord. And as we think of this asking, the asking of Elisha before the departure of Elijah, the asking of the Lord Jesus for his disciples, and his instructing them to ask for themselves, are we not reminded as God's people? Yes, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, but that we are to ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon us every day as we seek to witness for the Lord, as we seek to live for him, as we seek to walk in his ways. We are to ask that the Holy Spirit might even move upon the hearts of those that are out of Christ, convicting them of sin, convincing them of their need of Christ. We need to be filled with the Spirit every day. If you're not saved today, you should ask the Lord for salvation. You should ask him for mercy. You should ask him for forgiveness. His word says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There's one final thought here back in 2 Kings chapter 2. Not only was there the announcement of this departure, the asking before the departure, but I want you to consider in the final place the answer as the departure took place. When you come back here to 2 Kings chapter 2, and after reading verses 9 and 10, where Elijah is saying to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And then Elisha saying, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And then Elijah telling him he had asked a hard thing, and yet if he saw Elijah when he was taken up, this would be done for him. Verse 11 tells us, "And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." Verse 12, "And Elisha saw it." Elisha saw it. There's going to be an answer, therefore, to the asking, the request, because he saw Elijah being taken up. Here's the horses and the chariots of fire. The heavenly host, God's angels appearing as Elijah departs from this scene of time. You will see also in the verse 12 that there was sorrow in Elisha's heart that Elijah's departing. He says, he cries out, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Symbolic of the fact he was mourning the departure of Elijah from earth. But then in verse 13, he takes up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. He goes back, he stands by the bank of Jordan that earlier they had crossed together. Verse 14, he takes the mantle of Elijah. And he smites the waters. He says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" The waters part. He goes over. And in verse 15, as the sons of the prophets watch on what is happening, what do they say? The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. There was the answer to the request that had been made. The spirit of Elijah was resting upon Elisha, and he would be enabled in the power of the Spirit to go on and continue his ministry. And again, as we think of how all this foreshadows the ascension of the Lord Jesus many years later, we've already mentioned there in Acts chapter 1 how the Lord Jesus said to the disciples that they would receive power after the Holy Ghost had come upon them. And in verse 9 of Acts chapter 1, we read that when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. They looked steadfastly up as the Lord Jesus ascended back to glory. And of course, there were the two angels who appeared and assured them that someday the Lord Jesus would come back again, as they had seen him go into heaven. But the disciples, they returned to Jerusalem, and they went to the upper room, and they continued in prayer. And what were they asking for? Of course, they were asking for what the Lord had promised, the coming of the Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when they were still with one accord in one place, the Holy Spirit was poured out in great fullness. And they were enabled to be great witnesses for the Lord. And in Acts 2 and verse 33, Peter made it clear that it was because the Lord Jesus had ascended back to heaven, had been exalted to the Father's right hand, that now the Holy Spirit was poured out in fullness. This is what he said in Acts 2 and verse 33. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. You know, the disciples had been troubled back in John 13 and 14 and so on, when the Lord Jesus had told them he was going to depart, but he had told them he would not leave them comfortless. He would send the Holy Spirit. And of course, that's exactly what happened. You know, you take the time to read there at the end of Mark's Gospel, when the Lord Jesus was received up into heaven, we're told the disciples went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Read at the end of Luke's record, Christ, Luke records, he lifted up his hands to bless his disciples, and then he was taken up to heaven. And so again, what happened when Elijah departed from this world in his day was a foreshadowing of what would happen when Christ would ascend back into heaven. Christ is in glory today. Of course, he dwells within our hearts by the Spirit. Someday he's coming back again. But let us remember that until that day, either as God's people when we depart in death, or if we're still alive upon earth when Christ returns, let us seek every day to ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to live in the power of the Spirit until that day when we depart from this world. Let us live looking forward to that day. Let us live laboring in the light of that day. But again today, if you're unsaved and out of Christ, you know, John the Baptist in his ministry, he called people to flee from the wrath to come. And that's what you need to do today, flee from the wrath to come. By today calling upon the Lord for forgiveness and for salvation. What a way to remember the last Lord's Day of this year. If this was the day when you called on the Lord for salvation, when the Holy Spirit came to dwell within your heart, and you could end this year, and if God spares and tarries, enter a new year, saved by God's grace, on the way to glory. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts this morning for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee today we can say that thy word is truth. And we thank thee in every part of thy word there is a message which has an application that is right up to date for us today. And we pray that you would hide your word in each of our hearts today, that you will speak on through your word, speak on to each child of God, speak on to any that are out of Christ. Lord, we pray that we will be enabled to be doers of thy word. We pray that you will remember those who remain around thy table. Remember those who go to their homes at this time. We pray that your hand will be upon us all, even throughout the rest of this thy day. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.